The Adventures of Uncle Jimmy, a Warner Brothers radio production starring William Farnham. Original story and direction by Edward Lynn. Remained of the week in which Mrs. Stewart promised she would give her answer in connection with the proposed adoption of her daughter-in-law by Mrs. Jetson. These days were anxious ones for Mrs. Jetson, tragically anxious ones. But she never let Rosalind see that she was unhappy and depressed. While they were both in the kitchen...
Mother Jetson, are you always happy?
Why, most of the time, I guess.
But every time I see you, you're smiling.
That's because you're here with me. Land, before you came, I was the grouchiest, grumpiest body. I even took the broom to the cat just to make sure I wasn't losing the knack of being mean.
Mother Jetson, Mother Jetson, such an imagination. Why, it's getting almost as good as Johnny's.
Of course. Didn't you know I was in my second childhood?
Just what can I do to help?
Well, when that bread dough comes up just a little more, you can knead it lightly once and then set it back to raise again.
Well, I mean, I'd love to.
How's the neck today? Feel quite as stiff.
Oh, the pain's all gone out of it. I'm not quite as conscious as I once was about the way it's turned.
Now, that's a blessing. Think while we're both in the kitchen, I'll just stir up a nice white cake. No, I won't eat it. I reckon the cookie jar at the Stewart's is empty. Oh, and how Johnny does love my raisin cookies.
You're always doing something nice for somebody else. Don't you ever think of yourself?
Why, of course I do. Always trying to find ways to make my work easier. Well, here I put in a new stove not more than 5 years ago and got me a washing machine. Pretty soon all the pioneer spirit that was left in me will go out. Guess I'm getting soft.
Mother Jetson,
really?
Do you believe what is to be is to be? I mean, do you believe in fate?
I don't know, Rosalind. If the body lives longer, her ideas about life and death, what is and what ain't, changes. But I do believe in the right. The right in the end always comes out on top. And I believe in the good. You just can't keep it down.
And you believe in love, don't you?
Yes, indeed. And I'm grateful for every crumb of it life has given me.
Haven't you ever had the full loaf, Mother Jetson?
No, Rosalind. Just crumbs. But I ain't ever given up hoping.
Don't give up hoping. Ever. You're entitled to the full loaf, and with all my heart, I'll pray that you get it.
I'm going downstairs and see Rosalind right now.
Bobby, you don't want to undo all the good work that the doctors have done for you, do you?
Good work, my eye. They've been keeping me cooped up in this room like an invalid. Oh, I'm not an invalid, and I'm going downstairs.
Now, look here, Bobby. A few more days and you'll see Rosalind. Soon you'll be sitting down to dinner with us in the dining room.
That's just what I used to hear Mom promise Johnny when he was sick. And Dorothy, when she was sick. But I'm not a kid anymore.
Robert, there's been no preparation made for you. At the moment, Rosalind and your mother are out.
Well, I'll sit in the living room and wait for them to come home.
But you're not supposed to be up that long at one time.
I'll lie down on the divan and rest then. Come on, Uncle Jimmy. Let's go.
Oh, Bobby, you really want to do yourself a great wrong.
That's just a lot of baloney.
No, it isn't, son. I don't think you realize just how sick you are.
Oh, forgive me, Uncle Jimmy. Some of that old Stuart temper, I guess. Plus the Stuart restlessness. I won't be any more trouble from today on.
You know, for a minute it looked like I was going to have to hogtie you and maybe knock you cold to prevent you from getting downstairs.
Boy, what a life.
Yeah. What a wonderful life. Really and truly. And if we people as a family, and millions of us as a nation, aren't living off the fat of the land, well, I miss my guess.
Okay. You going over to see Robin?
Mm-hmm. After dinner.
Tell her I've been a bad boy. An ungrateful cuss. But tell her just the same to go on believing in me. And tell her I love her.
Bobby to know this, Mr. Stewart. But the doctor told me that he's going to have to take it pretty easy for about a year.
Yes, I expected as much.
And whatever work he does will have to be very light. The hours just as short as possible. Half-day work would be ideal.
Miss Brenton asked me today how Bobby was getting along. Of course, I told her just fine, which is true. But I'm glad in a way that I didn't know about him having to take it easy for a year.
Well, let her meet Bobby first. She'll see that the boy can't be loaded down with work in the first few days he's in the office. That is, if he's lucky enough to get on.
Well, now, Uncle Jimmy, I'm not forcing the issue in the least. I don't want anybody around the office to get the idea that I'm working my boy into the firm.
Now, Mr. Stewart, has Mrs. Stewart dropped any hint as to what decision she's going to give in the matter of Rosalind's adoption by Mrs. Jetson?
No, not yet.
Your wife, Mr. Stewart, is having a terrible fight with her pride. She loves Rosalind more than she'll admit. You know, I'm certain of that.
Yes, and so am I. Why, there are moments when she just goes on and on about what wonderful progress Rosalind has made and how pretty the girl is and how horrible life has treated her. Then she realizes she's said too much and she shuts up like a clam.
I'll have dinner ready in just a jiffy. Did I interrupt a little page of tape? Oh, were you, Arnold, enlightening Uncle Jimmy with one of your choice stories?
Florrie, I cannot tell a lie. We were discussing a woman.
Indeed. I'm not at all surprised. Don't expect either to have wings.
No, she was sweet and charming, this woman, and kindly and motherly and wifely.
A sweetheart, in other words. And two men? No, three. Or was it four had a tremendous admiration for her?
Well, what a woman. Goodness, it seems that this generation needs more women like that.
Oh, yes. And this woman we were discussing is an excellent cook and a housekeeper, and she has good looks.
Ooh.
And the skin you love to touch.
With a strap, I suppose. Oh, Arnold Stewart, won't you ever grow up?
Oh, but don't you want to know her name?
No, I don't want to.
Oh, nor the names of the men who admire her?
No, of course not.
Mrs. Stewart, I'm afraid you've traded curiosity for another quality. The names of the men who admire this fair and charming lady are Arnold, Robert, John, and James. Jimmy for short.
Oh, now isn't this just too silly? Well, how in the world could I imagine that such a glamorous creature could be I? Then I've got work to do in the kitchen, so I...
That was a chair you bumped into, Florrie.
Why don't you tell me something I don't know?
Funny, but I think she felt complimented just the same.
Florrie? Oh, she loved it. You know, Uncle Jimmy, she's still the same Florrie I courted and married almost 25 years ago. Amazing how little she's changed.
When we see with the eyes of love, The object of our affections changes very little. I'm sure that the weeks will prove that if there are any changes at all in the mental or spiritual qualities of Florence Stewart, they'll be for the better. Yes, Rosalind. I had quite a little tussle with that husband of yours. And I tell you, the beads of perspiration were standing out on my forehead as big as...
Dollars, Uncle Jimmy?
Well, bigger than buttons, anyway. Oh, but he calmed down after a minute or two and got right back into bed.
Bless his heart. Poor Bobby, my heart just bleeds for him.
He's been pretty lonely. Loneliness is a terrible thing. Some of us are lonely right in our own family. Others in a crowd. The average man just wants the woman he loves at his side. And then, lo and behold, the miracle happens. And they are life, joy, creation, everything. Not just two people against the world, but two people who are the world.
That's beautiful, Uncle Jimmy. And it's true. That's just how I felt when Bobby and I were first married. It was so wonderful. We'd sit alone night after night in the little apartment, just holding hands, looking out into it might have been our happiness. I don't remember that we even spoke.
When two people are in love, the language of love is not spoken with words. You know how often a mother looks down at her baby, never says anything, just smiles. The baby looks up at the mother and is grateful for such a wonderful benediction.
Yes, I know there's so much to live for. And I know that Bobby needs me more than ever now. And I need him. And the baby will need both of us. But if all my hopes and dreams and plans should just work out the other...
They can't, Rosalind. They must work out according to what is best for both you and Bobby and Mrs. Jedson, too.
And Mrs. Stewart. I don't know how much she really loves me, but I know she's grown more thoughtful. More tolerant. Oh, if she'd just come to me and say, Rosalind, everything's going to be all right.
Would that mean more to you than if Mrs. Jedson would say it?
I don't know. But Mrs. Jedson can never be Robert's mother. Neither can she be the grandmother of my baby. But I shan't beg and I shan't plead. I must go on matching my pride with the pride of Mrs. Stewart. How much easier it would be to exchange pride for love.
Soon now, Mrs. Stewart must tell Rosalind whether or not she will consent to be a real mother to her. If not, then Rosalind must be a second-best daughter with Mrs. Jedson as her legal mother. Just how will this dilemma be solved?